Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. Surrender, and there's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Conversation. As of this morning, the show was 73rd out of 841 politically conservative themed shows, and that is within the top 8%. Now, today marks my 1 month anniversary on Blog Talk Radio, so I am honored to be where I am at, and thank you, the audience, for being a part of that. And with your continued listenership and advocacy, we can get even bigger. Now, if you have come from my friend Charlotte Dively's show, Prophetic Art Class, I thank you for visiting her show. And if you have not, I think you will enjoy it, especially if you like Christian art, and I will recommend her show to you. The show may be found on Facebook. It is an application called Newt Now. It is easy to find. Just put Newt Now as one word in the Facebook search engine, and there will be a few checks, a few clicks, and you are there. And that is called Prophetic Art Class by Charlotte Dively. Now, tonight we are going to discuss a quote from an article in the Washington Times titled, Tea Party Leader Criticizes Romney Campaign. Is it too late to switch? In the article, Judson Phillips, the Tea Party Nation's leader, asked the question, can we have a brokered convention now? I have two articles to read from Judson Phillips. The first is the article from the Washington Times, and the other is from Tea Party Nation's website, and then I will read some of the comments. Now, the first article reads this. It says, the leader of the National Tea Party Group suggested Monday that Republicans might want to start exploring whether it is too late to replace Mitt Romney atop the party's ticket after one of the campaign's top advisors argued that the individual mandate and the President Obama's health care law is not a tax. Tea Party Nation's Judson Phillips said Thursday's Supreme Court ruling upholding health care reform offered Mr. Romney an opening with anti-tax advocates and the middle class, an opening that was squandered by Romney advisor Eric Fernstrom's comments Monday that former Massachusetts governor disagrees with the contention that the law is actually a huge tax increase. We did not like Obamacare to start with, and now that the Supreme Court has called it a tax, it gave Romney the room to run straight for a touchdown, Mr. Phillips wrote on the group's blog. What kind of idiots are running the Romney campaign? Instead of spiking the football and winning, the Romney campaign had just turned over the ball. Mr. Farnstrom's remarks undercut the message of top Republicans on Capitol Hill who pounced on majority opinion's decision that the mandate was a constitutional as a tax. Mr. Phillips pointed out the Romney campaign raised her $6 million in wake of the court's decision. Such stupidity is mind-blowing, he said. The question for Republicans is it too late to change the nominee? Can we have a brokered convention now? Where is Herman Cain or Newt Gingrich now when we really need them? Now, I see I do have some people in the queue waiting. I'm going to, if you could bear with me, I will let you all in. I just want to get these articles read to the audience, and then I'll be letting people come in as for comments. Well, let's see the chat. Okay, the second article is from the Tea Party Nation's website. And this is what it, I'll read the article, and then I'll read some of the remarks. What else can you say about the Republicans? The chief criteria for nominating someone seems to be we pick the guy most likely to lose in November. Last Thursday, John Roberts had managed to do what no one else could do. He had gotten the Tea Party and conservatives behind Mitt Romney. Now Romney had managed to blow it. How is Romney managing to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory? Romney, through his surrogate Eric Fernstrom, the same guy who uttered the famous ESSA sketch line, which I'm going to put a side note, I have a clip of that, in the primaries, came out and said Obama is right. The Obamacare tax is not a tax. Famed pollster Scott Rasmussen said that conservative anger over Obamacare was hitting the stratosphere. What does Romney do? He sends a surrogate to announce that Romney agrees with Obama. Great! Today in the National Journal, Josh Krauschar was even more explicit about the Romney campaign. He said the Romney campaign was declaring a ceasefire on an issue that is potent to the Republican base. Hello? Well, he didn't put hello to Earth to Republican Party. You're about to nominate an idiot. Obamacare is a tax. While John Roberts did not do the right thing and sold us out, he did do something. By declaring it a tax, he put it right into the Republicans' wheelhouse. Conservatives are not going to sit idle by this time. We have had it. The rhino wing of the party shoved Romney down our throats. We are going to line up behind him, especially after the Supreme Court ruling of the Obamacare tax. And what does Romney do? He commits ritual political suicide. It's painfully obvious that Romney will not repeal Obamacare. It is painfully obvious Romney is a liberal. Eric Fernstrom all but announced that back when he made his famous Etch-a-Sketch comment. There's still time to stop this sanity. We have not worked so hard to simply put a guy into that office who is going to change the name of Obamacare, make a few minor cosmetic changes, and then try to put lipstick on that pig and sell it to us. If the Republican Party goes ahead and nominates Mitt Romney, it is committing political suicide. The Tea Party is ready to walk. In a piece in Breitbart.com, Joel Pollack said these very words. Pollack told Romney to quit if he was not going to go all in to repeal Obamacare. Romney will not quit. His ego is too big. It is up to the delegates to save the Republican Party. It's time for a revolt. I have said I would go to the polling place with a large and cold bottle of Pepto-Bismol, a stomach distress bag, and pull the lever for Mitt Romney, praying I don't vomit all over the voting machine. Last Thursday, I was even considering getting a Romney sticker because of the Supreme Court decision. Now, if this is how Romney is going to act, I'm not sure if I will vote for him. What's the difference between him and Obama? If the Obamacare tax survives, we will see an economic collapse none of us have ever seen. The Obamacare tax is the issue that unites conservatives. If Romney is going to blow this issue off, he's an idiot. This tells us what he will do as president. He had better get to work saving the Senate, and we better get to work saving the Senate and House, because no matter who wins this election this fall, we have lost. Now, here are some of the comments. I'll just do a couple because I don't want to keep the people waiting on the phone too long. Okay, here are some of them. How many times have I said that Romney is just Obama light? For all the dust that has been raised, we, the conservatives, have lost the chance to put a conservative in the White House. Could have been Bachman, Newt, or even Paul. Our last chance would be the convention in Florida. I'm not holding my breath. The RNC has forgotten its roots, its core, its membership. It's all about keeping a status quo and growing power. Okay, that's one. Let me go to, another one. Oh, let's see. I'm trying to find a real good one for you. Yeah, just know that since you're drinking the Kool-Aid and there's no chance WTP will vote for the establishment's choice. And there's a lot of such little clips. But I think the first one in the red is definitely indicative of what we've been saying and many conservatives have been saying for a long time. Now, a way to illustrate how weak and unfocused and unmotivating, for that matter, that Mitt Romney is, okay, please bear with me, folks. I have here Romney's response to Obamacare's decision. And after I am done playing this clip for you can listen how weak Romney appears, unmotivating that he is, and unfocused. I will open up the lines to the callers.
As you might imagine, I disagree with the Supreme Court's decision, and I agree with the dissent. What the court did not do on its last day in session, I will do on my first day if elected president of the United States. And that is, I will act to repeal Obamacare. Let's make clear that we understand what the court did and did not do. What the court did today was say that Obamacare does not violate the Constitution. What they did not do was say that Obamacare is good law or that it's good policy. Obamacare was bad policy yesterday. It's bad policy today. Obamacare was bad law yesterday. It's bad law today. Let me tell you why I say that. Obamacare raises taxes on the American people by approximately $500 billion. Obamacare cuts Medicare by approximately $500 billion. And even with those cuts and tax increases, Obamacare adds trillions to our deficits and to our national debt and pushes those obligations on to coming generations. Obamacare also means that for up to 20 million Americans, they will lose the insurance they currently have, the insurance that they like and they want to keep. Obamacare is a job killer. Businesses across the country have been asked what the impact is of Obamacare. Three-quarters of those surveyed by the Chamber of Commerce said Obamacare makes it less likely for them to hire people. And perhaps most troubling of all, Obamacare puts the federal government between you and your doctor. For all those reasons, it's important for us to repeal and replace Obamacare. What are some of the things that we'll keep in place and must be in place in a reform, a real reform of our healthcare system? One, we have to make sure that people who want to keep their current insurance will be able to do so. Having 20 million people, up to that number of people, lose the insurance they want is simply unacceptable. Number two, got to make sure that those people who have pre-existing conditions know that they will be able to be insured and they will not lose their insurance. We also have to assure that we do our very best to help each state in their effort to assure that every American has access to affordable health care. And something that Obamacare does not do that must be done in real reform is helping lower the cost of health care and health insurance. It's becoming prohibitively expensive. And so this is now a time for the American people to make a choice. You can choose whether you want to have a larger and larger government, more and more intrusive in your life, separating you and your doctor, whether you're comfortable with more deficits, higher debt that we pass on to the coming generations, whether you're willing to have the government put in place a plan that potentially causes you to lose the insurance that you like, or whether instead you want to return to a time when the American people will have their own choice in health care, where consumers will be able to make their choices as to what kind of health insurance they want. This is a time of choice for the American people. Our mission is clear. If we want to get rid of Obamacare, we're going to have to replace President Obama. My mission is to make sure we do exactly that, that we return to the American people the privilege they've always had to live their lives in the way they feel most appropriate, where we don't pass on to coming generations massive deficits and debt, where we don't have a setting where jobs are lost. If we want good jobs and a bright economic future for ourselves and for our kids, we must replace Obamacare. That is my mission. That is our work. And I'm asking the people of America to join me. If you don't want the course that President Obama has put us on, if you want instead a course that the founders envisioned, then join me in this effort. Help us. Help us defeat Obamacare. Help us defeat the liberal agenda that makes government too big, too intrusive, and that's killing jobs across this great country. Thank you so much.
Well, wow. I'm impressed. Are you? I think not. However, I know I told that I was going to have the callers in after this, and I will have them in. But right now, I got a phone number of a gentleman who I was told was going to come in tonight at around this time, and I just see the phone number come up on my switchboard. So it looks like the guest that is on the line, his name is Judson Phillips, and he is the leader of the Tea Party Nation, and he wrote the article that I have just read for you tonight. Now, I would like to take this time to thank Kevin Bluff from California for setting this up. So without any further ado, I would like to bring in Judson Phillips. Yes, it is Mr. Phillips.
Hi. How are you doing?
Hi, how are you? I'm good. How are you?
Hey, it's a beautiful day. It's like 90 degrees outside. Tomorrow's the 4th of July. You know, the humidity's so thick you can cut it with a knife. It doesn't get much better than that.
It's going to be hard for a rocket to get through there, through the humidity. It's 90-something degree here in Ohio.
I'm at an undisclosed location on the East Coast, and it's like 90 degrees with 90% humidity, which in meteorological terms I would call that perfect.
There you go. Great. So was that with the inflections, was that a good enough reading of the articles that you wrote? I'd like to see what your stance on that is. If you'd like to elaborate on some on the articles you wrote, that'd be great. And then I've got a few questions if you don't mind answering.
Sure. No, I will tell you, I just dialed in a minute ago, so I didn't get to hear really any discussion about it. So you're sort of catching me, standing at the plate with a smile on my face and a bat on my shoulder.
No problem. Well, I'll tell you what. The first article I read was the Tea Party leader criticizes Romney campaign. Is it too late to switch? And that was the one in the Washington Times. And the other article I read was from the Tea Party Nation website under one of the forums. Memo to the Republican Party, you are about to nominate an idiot.
Hey, listen, I'm a little ambiguous at times, and sometimes I just don't think I get my point across.
Okay. Well, what was your point then in those articles? Because it seemed to me that you're behind a broker convention, and let me tell you, Mr. Phillips, a lot of the people here who are listening tonight are very much hoping for, some praying for, a broker convention so that we can get a true conservative, one with a conservative record, to become the nominee.
Yeah. And, well, 2012 for me has kind of been deja vu of 2008 because of that sick feeling when John McCain finally won, that overwhelming desire to go pray in front of the porcelain goddess. And 2012 has just been the same thing. And when everybody pretty much dropped out and it was Mitt Romney, I just kind of resigned myself to the silver lining theory, and that is this. With Mitt Romney, he's not a dynamic leader. He's not a leader at all. He's a manager. He comes from that Harvard Business School mentality, which a friend of mine who is also a graduate of the Harvard Business School says it's a paint-by-numbers mentality. And so I've just been resigning myself to, look, let's get a good, solid conservative Congress. Let's get a good, solid conservative Senate, and let Mitt Romney play follow the leader. Because he's not going to leave. But in the last couple of days, last Thursday, when John Roberts announced that insane decision in the Obamacare case, he did, in one fell swoop, what nobody else has been able to do. Unite conservatives. I mean, once that idiocy came out, I was ready to go put a Romney sticker on the back of my car. I was just, it's like, we'll just unite, get Obama out of there. We'll only need 51 votes in the Senate. It can't be filibustered because it's a tax. It can be done through reconciliation. You can win. All right. And, of course, immediately on the conservative side, the drumbeat starts. It's a tax. It's a tax. It's a tax. I mean, Obama might as well be up there sipping hemlock with a tax, because that's just—I mean, Americans hate taxes, and this is how you—I mean, this is from a political point of view, outside of just outright killing it. Romney probably couldn't have asked for anything better than to have the Supreme Court say, this is a tax, and then we all conservatives just are taking that tax thing and shoving it down, trying to shove it down Obama's throat, and then what do you have? You've got Mr. Etch-a-Sketch, Eric Kirstein, or Storm, or Strom, or however you pronounce his name. Excuse me. By the way, I apologize for coughing. Where I'm at is a lovely area that has probably more allergies per square inch than any place in the world. But anyway, you got Mr. Etch-a-Sketch up there going, well, we agree with President Obama. It's not a tax. It's a penalty. And when I read that, I just wanted to, my head exploded. And I hope I don't offend anybody by saying it just the way I'm saying this, but my reaction was, how the hell can you be so stupid? Actually, that's the G-rated version of what my real reaction was.
We're a PG-13 tops here. I mean, as long as you're not dropping any F-bombs or GDs or anything like that, I think you're good.
Well, as I like to tell people, my father was a career Air Force sergeant. He taught me many creative, unique, and very obscene ways to express my displeasure. And
metaphors.
I started going down the list when I read that. And, of course, Fearon Storn, how do you pronounce his name? I really don't know how to pronounce his name.
Well, let me look at the article again here. Let me pull it up.
But
it is the way I was pronouncing it, if I could find the guy's name, is Fernstrom. I've been calling him Fernstrom. Fernstrom.
Yeah, Sturman Drum, you know, whatever.
Yeah, German, whatever. No.
But anyway, he says, you know, Mitt Romney agrees with this. And it's like, how absolutely stupid can you be? I don't care whether you agree with it or not. Shut up. You know, this is, to use a military metaphor, the great philosopher Sun Tzu always advised, you never attack an enemy that's in a higher position. Right? Well, guess what? The tax issue, courtesy of the Supreme Court, gave Romney and company the high ground. I mean, they're sitting there looking down at Obama. Obama's having to charge uphill to try and fight this, and he's just getting himself killed. Well, Romney just walked off the hill and gave Obama an equal position with him. How stupid can you be? This, you know, one of the lines I like to use, and this is classic, this describes exactly what's going on. Mitt Romney's showing up for debate club. Barack Obama is showing up for fight club. And I just, so anyway, it literally made my head explode. And, you know, the way he's acting, yeah, the Republicans are nominating an idiot. And, you know, maybe just, you know, he's got more money than anybody knows what to do with. He's got more money than what he knows what to do with. But maybe the message will just get through to the GOP convention somehow. There will be a miracle, and we might end up with a conservative.
That's what we're looking for. That's what there's CP and there's fighting for. And I know the Ron, to my understanding, there's some actions going on by the Ron Paul camp. Not maybe not the Ron Paul campaign, but Ron Paul supporters that are working mm-hmm. towards that end.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not going to bring up some old issues because I've got my problems with Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that, you know, for the Ron Paul people who are continuing to fight this fight, hey, more power to you. Because, you know, I would love to have nothing better than the convention just get up there, just have the whole thing blow up and have them say, you know what, we have the delegate, you know, have that come to Jesus moment, have the light come on and go, you know what, we just can't have this guy. We've got to get somebody better. And then, you know, go down the list of people, either some of the guys who ran or, you know, some good conservatives who didn't run. Because there's some good people out there who could do some amazing things. You know, anybody from a Dementz to a Thune to, I mean, just the list goes on and on.
Alan West?
I love Alan West.
Yeah, I've heard Alan West's name come up a lot.
Yeah. Well, you know, anybody, here's the thing with Alan West. Anybody who will tell Nancy Pelosi to take her socialism and get the hell out of the country with it? Hey, I like you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Go ahead.
So anyway, I know the reality of life. Number one, Romney will never voluntarily step aside. This is all about him and his ego. You know, for him, it's the big brass ring. It's the end of his career. He gets the biggest CEO job in the world. That's what he wants.
Put it up on his mantle.
Yeah. Now, but here's the dangerous thing about Mitt Romney, and this is why he's so scary, and just playing the odds here for a moment that we won't be able to have a broker convention and Romney's going to end up as the nominee. This is why a conservative Senate and conservative House are so important, why we've got to get conservative leadership in there to act on conservative ideas. Because Mitt Romney on his own will not do that. And Mitt Romney is going to have 4 years. And America will do to Mitt Romney what we're fixing to do to Barack Obama. You know, we're in the middle of what I like to call the Great Obama Depression, okay? Those of us who are politically active can't stand Romney I just can't stand Obama. We don't really like Romney either, but we can't stand Obama because we know what he stands for, what his policies are, et cetera. The average American, regrettably, is not that in tune. All they're going to do is look around and go, you know, there's 8% unemployment, there's 10% unemployment. My neighbor lost his job. My sister lost her, and her husband lost their house. I mean, you know, the economy sucks, and he's not fixing it. So they'll take him out and give Mitt Romney 4 years. But here's the problem. This is what we conservatives know. If Romney does not enact an aggressive conservative policy to radically cut spending, cut some taxes to stimulate the economy, and get us going, 4 years from now, you know what? We're going to be looking at someone who is worse than Barack Obama. It's going to be Hillary Clinton, or maybe it'll be Andrew Cuomo. But we're going to look to somebody. The next Democratic nominee will be to the left of Barack Obama, if you can imagine that. And the problem for Romney is, and the problem that we face, is if we don't solve the problem and get the country back on track where we have peace and prosperity, we are going to end up with that really radical far-left government. And that's, you know, when we look at Barack Obama, it's hard to say how can you be more radical and more leftist than that. But yet it is possible. And if we have another radical far-left president, I'm not sure that America is going to survive this one, but we won't survive one other after it. So that's why this is so crucial, and that's why, you know, I keep hoping, although I realize it's sort of, you know, the odds of getting us a successful broker convention are probably akin to my odds of winning the Powerball tomorrow night, but still, you know, we've got to hope. And then backup strategy is we've just got to get these conservatives into Congress and get them into positions of power where they're going to take conservative ideas, turn it into conservative legislation, plant it on Romney's desk, and you know, Romney will end up like George W. Bush, because if you remember Bush did not veto a single bill in the first 6 years he was in office. First 6 years, Republicans mm-hmm. had either almost or actual control of the Senate as well as the House. George W. Bush didn't veto a single bill that entire time. It took Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid taking over before he started vetoing bills. Well, Romney will be the same way. And that's the upside to this. Not a great upside, but at least it's an upside.
Well, speaking of Romney, if you don't mind, I've got a series of questions that I got, if you don't mind answering a few of them. I only got about four. And then what I like to do is after the questions you answer them, I want to bring some of the people in, if you don't mind, staying on the line. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I've got about 10 more minutes, so yeah.
Oh, 10 more? Okay, well, then I'll just shoot these off from the hip, and if we could just make a couple-minute answers, that's fine. And
sure.
I thank you very much for calling in. The first is besides Obamacare, what other ways do you see Romney as weak, besides the way he handled the Obamacare issue?
Well, he's weak on that. He has, let's go back a few months with our friend Mr. Fernstorm, or, you know, however you pronounce his name.
Mm-hmm.
When he came back with his Etch-a-Sketch comment for Romney, and Romney didn't disavow that, Romney ran to the right of almost everybody else on immigration, and now that he's the nominee, he's turning right around and going, we have to do comprehensive immigration reform.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is what he was just nailing. I mean, Newt Gingrich, who I backed, had some common sense approaches because I would generally favor, if you're here illegally, you got to go. You can come back legally, but if you're here illegally, you got to go. Well, Newt kind of nailed it that that's never going to happen, as much as we might like it to. You know, you're not going to throw out some grandmother who's been here for 40 years, okay? Well, let's put a little common sense in here. Well, Romney just nailed him on it, and then as soon as he's the nominee, he flip-flops, turns around, and tax left.
Exactly. And so this would bring me to a second question. As I said, I'll just keep throwing them out because you have limited time. So would it be, in your opinion, a fair assessment to say that Romney is as weak a candidate as John McCain and Bob Dole?
He's certainly going to give them a good run for their money. Here's the problem with these moderate rhinos. They have no core principles. They have no values. I have an intense dislike for Barack Obama for what he wants to do for this country, or do to this country, would be perhaps a better way. I'll say this for Barack Obama. We got a pretty good idea where he stands. He has core principles. They suck. His core principles, when they've been put into practice in the past, the end result for any nation that has put them into practice has been poverty, tyranny, and occasionally mass murder. But Barack Obama's got his core principles, and you know, we know what they are. We know where he's going. Mitt Romney, who the hell knows? I mean, seriously, who knows?
Right.
He's flip-flopped on all these issues. You know, our only prayer, although I don't think it's going to materialize, is that if he gets elected, he suddenly flip-flops into conservatism. Don't think it'll happen, but, you know.
I agree. And that I think that'll be a good segue into the last question I'll have here for you. Well, first I want to say, you know, thank you for coming in and thanks for calling in. I know there was, you know, some of the listeners out there who wanted to talk with you themselves and ask a few questions themselves. So, I mean, I'd love to have you back on here. Like I said, we don't have to set something up tonight, of course, but I really like to have you back on here. And if you would be willing, when you came back, some of the people coming in to listen, I'll just be quiet. And some of the people who call in as my listeners, they can ask some questions for themselves, because since they didn't have the opportunity to do that tonight. So you don't have to answer that now. I just, you know,
like to see that. Let's do it again.
Awesome.
All the details that got worked out today, so that was really kind of short notice. But, if we can work out a few days' notice so I've got open time,
definitely.
It'd be great.
Yeah, I would try to make even a week notice. But let me run on to the third question, because I think this is very important, especially for Tea Party. As the Tea Party Nation being one of the largest, if not the largest, Tea Party groups, in what ways, since we both, it seems like we'd like to see a broken convention, in what ways would you suggest for all other Tea Party groups to get together in support of a broker convention so we can get a truly conservative nominee in August?
Right now, the best way to do that is to keep pressure on the Republican Party. Which, by the way, I'll plug something real quick that I'd encourage your listeners to attend if they absolutely can. There is a unity rally. All the Tea Party and conservative and liberty groups are coming together the day before the Republican convention in August, which I believe is August the 26th. It is August the 26th.
I believe so. Yeah.
It's going to be in Tampa. Unity Rally 2012 is the site. It's still being developed. UnityRally2012.com. I would encourage people to check that out and try to be there if at all possible. But the only way we're going to be able to get a broker convention to get a conservative candidate like we want, we've got to keep pressure on the Republican Party, because there is a dynamic involved that has been here since the days of Barry Goldwater, and that is the fight between the RINOs, the establishment, and the conservative wing of the party. And the RINOs are so excited because they thought after 2010, you know, we were just going to clean up this time, and guess what? They were able to shove their boy down our throat. Well, if it looks to them like Romney might lead the party to defeat, if problems come up, that's what it will take to get enough of these establishment guys to abandon Romney to make a brokered convention even a possibility. So basically, what we need to do is keep the pressure on the Republican Party. Because let's face it, we all know how Romney won the nomination. He had the most money to spend. Romney, through his super PAC, and who knows who contributed to that, because the nice thing about super PACs is, you know, they don't have to disclose their donors. Romney, through his own money, through other people's money, spent more money than anybody else. I mean, that's how he beat Gingrich. When Gingrich did that masterful job in South Carolina, they went into Florida, and he outspent Gingrich 7 or 10 to 1. Santorum's a real last stand in Illinois. Romney outspent him in some parts of that state 21 to 1. So we all know, here's how Romney got the nomination. He was just physically able to outspend everybody. So the only thing, you know, the Republicans are already, you know, they're already starting to measure the drapes for the Oval Office and for the Majority Leader's Office in the Senate. Well, we keep the pressure on them and keep the pressure on Romney. That is the only way something like that's going to happen.
Well, great. Well, you mentioned earlier that you were a Newt Gingrich supporter. I can tell you this, the vast majority of my listeners, including myself, are staunch Newt Gingrich supporters. it was very great. It was really nice to hear you say that. I think he's got the boldest ideas, the best record, and the vision for that America needs to get us out of what we are and bring what I would describe as America back to its former. And I hate to say former, I really do. I think we're still a great nation, but I believe we've lost something and we need to get it back. And I think Newt Gingrich is the candidate to do that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We've been diminished as a nation thanks to what I like to call the party of treason. And Newt Gingrich was the only guy out there who had the vision. And this is what we really needed. We needed somebody with a vision. The last guy we had with a great vision was Ronald Reagan. And we saw what. And we needed somebody with the kind of vision that Gingrich could bring. You know, I love Michelle Bachmann. I've had the privilege of doing some things with Herman Cain in the last few months. I mean, great people, and I think the world of them. But nobody else had that vision that Newt Gingrich did. And while, you know, it's unlikely that the party would turn to him because he's made so many enemies within the party, you know, he is the one who could actually turn everything around.
Okay, real quick, it's a question I was wanting to ask, but if not, that's okay. It's just a short answer, and of course, you don't have to answer it. Is what would you say would be a great ticket? You know, what ticket would you like to see? I mean, as I said, if that's something you don't want to put out on the show, that's fine. I understand that.
Hey, listen, I'm never afraid of telling people my opinion.
hey, I just want to give a disclaimer, just to give you an out, just in case you want to take it there.
no, I tell you. If I had my way, Newt Gingrich would be at the top of the ticket.
Right.
And then, you know, I haven't really thought about who would be a good number two, person for the bottom half of the ticket. It would have to be somebody that is fairly young, fairly charismatic, and very definitely conservative who shares our ideology. Because, you know, this is the one of the really bad things that that George Bush did during his tenure, he developed the bench. You know, he had Dick Cheney, who everybody knew was not going to run for president.
Right, right.
And he didn't bring up a lot of good talent. And, of course, the way Bush had managed to screw things up by the end of his presidency, he was so unpopular. If his vice president had run, they would not have fared really any better than John McCain would have. but you know, that's I tell you what. Between now and the next time I'm on, I'm going to spend some time thinking about who might make a good candidate. I tell you somebody who, although she's disappointed the Tea Party recently, someone who might have some potential would be Nikki Haley of South Carolina.
I can tell you just from the conservatives that I talk to, they are very angry with her for her endorsement of Mitt Romney. Two names that come up the most, at least in the conversations I've had, were, as I said earlier, Alan West, where I don't know if he fit the young part of what you're talking about. The second one that comes out a lot is Rand Paul.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll make the prediction right now. I would not be shocked to see Rand Paul as a Mitt Romney VP nominee. although, personally, I think he'll probably go, assuming he gets it, he'll go with a safe choice like Rob Portman or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Rand Paul would not
Rubio.
Shock me. Rubio's not a safe choice. He's a good choice. He's not a safe choice.
Yeah,
I
would agree with that assessment. Yeah, I'm not. I said that with tongue in cheek because I really don't think Rubio would be a good choice either.
Florida's where this whole thing lives and dies this year. So Rubio is not a bad pick. Although you've got there's a small segment of folks who don't believe that he's a natural born citizen. I'm not going to get into that whole thing.
Sure.
But you know, he was able to beat the establishment in Florida 2 years ago. So he's definitely some possibilities. If the unthinkable happens and Obama gets a second term, I guarantee you, you'll see Rand Paul as one of the top contenders in 2016.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. And there was another gentleman I was thinking VP wise. I cannot remember his name. Is it Jindal? What about Bobby?
Bobby
Jindal. Jindal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he is somebody that I had not thought about either, but he is he's very, very sharp. And and the folks down in Louisiana love him. He's done a great job down there. And so, yeah, he would absolutely rock. I mean, there are some good people out there. You know, I did mention Nikki Haley. I've got a lot of friends in South Carolina. A lot of them said the Tea Party is actively going to oppose her next time.
I believe they will. Mm-hmm. I think they will.
I tell you what, I am running up against another commitment that I have to be
to. No, I completely understand. I really appreciate you coming in tonight in such short notice, and I definitely would like to schedule something again to give you more notice, as I said, maybe a week in advance, you know, so we could do that. And next time what I'd like to do is, as I said, I have, you know, have the listeners field some questions, because I know there were some who wanted to do that tonight. So I'd like to give them the opportunity next time, or you and I could discuss that offline at some point on the format that, you know, we want to do. But thank you very much again for coming in. I really appreciate it, and I know the listeners appreciate it as well.
Hey, thank you for inviting me, and I'll look forward to the next time.
Great. Yes, we will as well. You take care, and have a good evening. Have a happy 4th of July.
Hey, happy 4th of July to you and all your listeners.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Good night. Well, folks, I really hope that you enjoyed listening to the gentleman on. I really, really apologize for not letting you guys in to ask him any questions. But as you heard, he's definitely open to, you know, the audience asking him questions the next time he comes in. It's just once I found out that he had limited time, I really wanted to, you know, go with the format that I had set up. And perhaps next time, you know, I won't have any questions, you know, for him directly, unless that's a forum or a format, you know, he picks when we have our conversation. But at this time, I really appreciate you staying on hold. I will let people in, and I will do that according to how long they are. It looks like I did have Samuel Samford on hold. And as we all know here in the chat and the listeners, that he has his own blog talk radio show, Constitutional Conservatives Unite, and you can also find that on Blog Talk Radio. You can find him on a Facebook app called Newt Now. It's really easy to find. All you have to do is go to the search engine on Facebook, type in Newt Now as one word, a few clicks, and you will be there. And then you'll be on his show. Runs from 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to 1 a.m. So if anyone would like to go in and talk to him, he's a great guy. That'd be awesome, and I'd really appreciate that. So at this time, I'm going to bring in, I believe, the person who was, got this hooked up tonight, and this would be Kevin Luff. I want to thank you very much for getting Judson Phillips on board.
Hello,
Kevin. How are you, buddy? Thank you very much. I really want to apologize to you, especially because, you know, you did the contact for us, and that was great. And I really wish I could had time to have you come in to ask him some questions.
No apologies needed, buddy. This is your show. You did
it.
Great. That was great,
thank you.
Dude. That was a great interview. I mean, you know, you nailed it. You know, he said it. He wants Newt Gingrich at the top of his ticket, you know. I mean, that's to tell people right there that he is for a broker convention. Now, you know, we just have to have everybody just, you know, just brew together now, you know. Now it's time. You know, we got to get this movement going. Judson Phillips, you know, he's a Tea Party founder. He's for a broker convention. Let's get him in this.
That's great. And that's why I asked him the question about what would be a good thing for the other Tea Parties to do in order to support a broker convention. And I agree with what he said with, you know, we got to put the pressure on. And to take that another step forward, one thing that the Tea Party was known for was getting this out into the streets. And I think one good way is, as he said, as many Tea Party people who can get down to Tampa for the Day of Unity, I believe he called it.
And participate
in that.
I plan on being out there all week.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And I'm gonna try to get down there myself. He's gonna hopefully be back on the show before then. I mean, it's only the beginning of July. That's the end of August, so I definitely am going to try to schedule something, you know, probably between the end of this month, beginning of next month, and then you could tell more of, you know, the Day of Unity or what, you know, whatever you call it. I'm sorry, I should have wrote that down, but But anyway, go ahead. I think I've talked enough, Kevin, so go ahead.
No. I mean, is Sammy in too right now? Is Sammy here?
No, unfortunately, he had to go. He probably had to get prepared for his show. So I do have other people who are another person that is in, and if you want me to let him in. Okay,
yeah.
Great. Well, we have 770, so 770, I'm letting you chime in. Once I get this button pushed. Hello, 770.
This is Charlotte. How are you?
Hey, hi, Charlotte. How are you? Great. Charlotte Dively, correct?
Yes, Charlotte Dively.
Great.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you, folks. You're not going to be able to talk long because you have your show on at 9 o'clock, correct?
Well, actually, I'm out and about. I'm going to see the fireworks and.
Okay.
Very nice.
Well, but then you got some time. Well, let me go ahead and say this. Then is Charlotte, the lady here on the line now. She has two shows. One, you can also find those on Newt Now, the same way you can find Sammy's show. And one she has at 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that is Prophetic Art Class. And there's also from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., there's also the Pray USA. That's also Eastern Time. So go ahead, Charlotte. If there's anything more you want to speak about your show or anything else, feel free to.
Awesome. Well, Mark Prasik and Kathy Chapman are going to actually host the show this evening.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and what I did is I pre-recorded a prayer for the first time and sent it to them, so we'll see how that works.
That's great.
But we're out and about getting ready to go celebrate the 4th the day before, but it's pouring down rain, so I'm not sure whether the fireworks are going to be working tonight or not, but...
Right.
But I wanted to share a little bit about what happened yesterday. I spoke with a lady from Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation. They have the website URL prayusa.com that I wasn't aware of until like a week ago. And I called in and spoke with a lady yesterday for over an hour, telling her all about, you know, how Pray USA got started and about the Newt Now setup that Mark has created. And she was very engaged and interested in it. And she was going to speak with the executive director about, you know, what we had talked about and about how we could possibly join our forces together and maybe help one another, you know. I'm not sure what's going to happen. We just prayed and said, okay, Lord, whatever you want us to do, we're going to do. And we'll just wait and see. I didn't hear from her today, but I was kind of out and about, so I didn't get a really good chance to speak to anybody else other than Mark and Kathy today. But but we'll see, you know, what happens on that. But it was just a real neat hookup. It was like a divine appointment, sure, you know. It was just really exciting. And it was so good to hear this gentleman that was speaking earlier on your show. What a neat deal.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. It was really exciting. He's the leader of the Tea Party Nation group.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I want to speak to what you just said earlier. A big part of the conservative conversation, which I think is going to be the new media, interactive media for the 21st century, which I believe is going to take over both your conventional radio, you know, news and also your TV news. I think the internet is going to be the place where people are going to go to get their information. You know, starting, you know, it's still early in the 21st century, but I think we're on the ground floor of it. And I think an important part is what you suggested, is networking. And that's what we're doing by having like-minded people coming together,
yes,
you know, to get out the truth.
Absolutely.
That's the way you form grassroots. That's grassroots right there. Everybody
yes,
gets together.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely unifying.
Communication is key.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, we get to know one another better. I mean, we've never met. but yet we still know one another better than a lot of people. You know, we just connected on the Newt Now forum and your the Blog Talk Radio. It's just a great combination. And when once Mark gets this, the two put together, it is going to be on fire.
It's going to be phenomenal.
It is. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely. I can't wait to see what's going to happen next.
Jimmy, that's very exciting. And hearing that article, you know, from Mr. Phillips about, you know, it's out there. A broker convention is out there. The want, the need for a broker convention is out there. And now it's time for us to get to work. It's time for us to get to work. If you're part of any kind of tea party, you know, get them riled up. You know, one good thing I like about Blog Talk Radio is it's archived. It's archived. And through my understanding, I know I can download shows, but it might be that someone like yourself, Charlotte, or you, Kevin, you might be able to actually download one of these shows. You know, you might be able to download it to your computer, put it on your phone. I don't know about this. I mean, you know, I'm just saying I don't know if the ability out there exists. And you can bring it to a Tea Party rally and say, listen to this guy. This is what he said.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we can't record the what we do. Yeah,
well, what's on Blog Talk Radio will become archived.
Yes, it will. Once we're able to do that, it will be. But now, the way it is now with the video, you know, we can't archive it. But
right.
It'll happen. I'm not sure how all that is going to work. But
well, Mark is very technical savvy, very technically intelligent. So I've got confidence that in the not too distant future, he'll figure out a way to do it.
If there is a way, it will happen. I have no doubt. You know, I know he has he's working towards it anyway. I know he's. Oh, I just spilled my Coke.
Uh oh. Did you say Coca-Cola?
Yeah, I was.
Did you say you spilled your Coke?
I just spilled my Coke, yeah, the whole thing.
Now, Coke, did you hear that? The people who own Coke, she mentioned Coke on a Blog Talk Radio show. That means you can send the check to... No, I'm just kidding. Wouldn't that be nice? I'd be saying Coke all night, like Coke.
Exactly.
You know, I'm from Georgia. Everything is a Coke. It doesn't make any difference whether it's root beer or...
Oh, we'll see. That's interesting. Or a soda or a pop. They call it pop here where I'm at.
You're from Georgia. I love it. You're one of the states that actually voted right.
Yes, I'm telling you.
You're one of the two.
One of the two what?
You're one of the two states that actually voted correctly for the right candidate. I love you guys.
But you know what, Samuel Sanford. When you know he's a nice guy. He's a really nice guy, and he says, you know, Robert from the great state of Ohio, and I love him for it. But boy, he's really not mirroring my sentiment about Ohio. I am not happy with Ohio because in 2008 they went for Obama. And this year, they're on Super Tuesday, they went for Romney. So.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, he was in Oklahoma. He was in Georgia for a while before he went to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he was from.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how long he was there, but he's in Florida now. So he's real close.
Well, that's great. Well,
I'm praying for a broker convention, man. I'm hoping it happens. You know, everybody seems to be getting on board with it too. It seems more and more people.
Well, and now with after the whole thing with the this Obamacare being called a tax, I think we have a better chance of getting Newt in there instead of Mitt. You know, I think now more than ever.
It's a golden opportunity. I mean, it's right there. We just need to get together.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. We just need to get organized and just get out to Tampa as many as we can. You know, and just get out there. I mean, we have to do it. If Newt's gonna, you know, try and fix our country, you know, we have to be there with him, not just be for him. Like he said, we have to be there with him. So physically, I will be there in Tampa with Nuke.
Awesome. Well, exactly. And I tell you what, when Judson Phillips said he was a Nuke supporter, oh, my gosh, I thought I was going to fall out of my chair with glee.
That's awesome. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I'm going to be
when,
going.
All the things he had to say about Nuke were spot on.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
But which is why I don't understand why he jumped ship. I mean, we didn't jump ship. That's the thing. I mean, he didn't answer to that. I mean, you didn't ask him, of course, but, I mean, that's good that you didn't ask him. But we didn't jump ship on Newt. We're still with Newt 100%. You know, even with his suspended, quote-unquote, campaign, you know, we still had belief that Newt was going to win it, and we still do, you know. Nothing's changed on our side. So, I mean, for all these people that changed their mind and now all of a sudden they want a broker convention, it's like we've been saying this all along. You know, you should have just listened to us.
But I don't think they knew. I think it's like myself. I really didn't know.
Well,
a lot of us were saying it though. A lot of us were saying what exactly was going to happen. You know, with Romney, he's a timid moderate. He's not going to fight Obama when it matters the most on issues like health care, on issues like taxes, on issues like cap and trade. He's not going to do it. Why? Because he agrees with him. We were saying that in January when the primary was very fluid still. So for people not to listen to us, and now all of a sudden with him as the presumptive nominee, doing what he's doing, being as timid like we said he's going to be, it's like, oh, now they're tired of Romney. It's like, okay, you were a little late there, but now, you know, better late than never, you know, we could still get a broker convention, but you should have just, you know, not voted for him in the first place, and we wouldn't even be going through this right now.
One thing I can say is I know we give Newt a lot of latitude. You know, because what he's done, you know, with talking about Romney. I mean, we know why Newt has done what he did, you know, or what he has been doing or continues to be doing. Because the Republican Party, the GOP establishment, the RNC, that would make him irrelevant. And Newt truly believes that his words and ideas and vision, as Mr. Phillips, you know, talked about as well, is what America needs.
Exactly.
It's what an American means. Now, I don't. You know, I've never seen. I try. You know, I've never seen anything on, you know, Mr. Phillips or the Tea Party itself, or the Tea Party Nation itself endorsing Romney. I've tried to look for some of that. I mean, I haven't seen it. I'm not saying I'm just saying that I haven't seen any of that.
Right, but when he said that, you know, when it looked like everybody had dropped out by then, but it's like I said, we stuck with Newt regardless if we quote unquote dropped out. We still believed in him. Why is it that we saw it but they didn't see it? That's the thing. What difference, you know, is it with the way we think compared to the way they think? You know, we're all humans here.
I think the fact that he dropped out, they didn't realize that they could still vote for him.
But he didn't really drop out, though. He suspended his campaign. That's all he really did. You know, he just stopped campaigning. He didn't drop out. I mean, that's the misperception that everybody received, you know. Everybody took it as, oh, he's done with the race, therefore he's out. You know, I mean, that was very key. And Fox News had a lot to do with that, as did talk radio.
And you bring up a good point. Kevin. And about something that we've known for a long time. I'm sorry, Cheryl, I didn't interrupt you, did I?
No, it's just that I think that there's just some confusion with the normal Joe Blow. Everybody, you know, we don't understand all the things about politics. And so they thought, well, when he's just...
But Charlotte, I know it all about... I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. No, I'm just joking.
God, you sound like that radio
pretend to know everything like Rush Limbaugh does.
Oh, God, 99.8% right? Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. Go ahead, Charlotte.
Well, I'm saying that's why I think there was a lot of confusion. He was saying, you know, why would people vote for Mitt Romney? Well, I think it was because they thought that they didn't have any other choice, which is really sad. You know, but I think that there was just that kind of confusion that was in there because of most people didn't understand. You know,
but there were people out there that were saying that, you know, Newt got out of it. You know, there were people like myself and Sammy and Robert and many, many, including yourself, I'm sure, many, many others saying, no, he's still in this race. So it's the fact that they didn't listen to us, that's what the problem was.
You know, I mean, we warned him well ahead of time that Newt's still in the race, you know, regardless of whether he suspended it or not, you know. He's still on the ballot. We mentioned it numerous times on Twitter, on Facebook, on Tea Party Nation, on many, many websites. So people had the opportunity to see it because everybody's on the internet nowadays. Everybody has the internet. You know, so if people aren't seeing that, then they're not paying attention, and that's the problem.
There's a lot of folks that are not on the internet still. I mean, you know, there's a lot of, you know, we've become, you know, internet savvy, but there's still, believe it or not, a lot of folks that are not, and they just refuse to go there to get their information. I mean, we're in a transition time.
Well, 85% of households hold the internet service now, I believe. I think it is. I think it's 85% now.
Yeah, and it's growing, and the internet will, and the internet will be, as I said, for the 21st century. We're still early in the 21st century. But one thing,
right.
a point that was brought up that I think, was spot on, is that the one thing that we knew, okay, and you know, as a group, okay, is that since the beginning of the primary election season, okay, one of our contentions has been that Romney will not win in the general election. Now, yesterday, I was supplied by Barbara Haney, and that's a name I'm sure is familiar with a lot of us.
Yeah.
Okay, and she is an Alaskan delegate for Newt.
Uh-huh.
She supplied me with a map by Karl Rove and Company.
Awesome.
Certainly Karl Rove is establishment. He's not a conservative, and it's not a liberal outlet. Okay? So what I did is take the polling information and extrapolated the numbers, and I put it into a map on www.270towin.com. And what that is a map of the Electoral College, okay, the Electoral College count. Now, when the calculations for the Electoral College came out, it was Obama 280 to Romney's 160. So, I mean, even if Romney won all of the states, he still would have lost. He would still lose. And those states that are close in the poll were Florida, Wisconsin, Missouri, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Arizona. However, even if Romney won all of those states, he would still lose. Now, tonight I brought up about Marco Rubio being on the short list to be one of Romney's running mates, if indeed Romney does become the nominee. And the strategy for them wanting Rubio is twofold. One, as Mr. Phillips alluded to, is to try and get Florida votes for Romney, and also to get the Hispanic vote. However, even if Romney wins Florida, according to those polls that I've got, and they're about late May, from Karl Rove and Company, then this Marco Rubio would not be a strategically valid or viable choice. So I mean, what the gentleman suggested, we mentioned Rush Limbaugh, is one of the things I've been suggesting is now that this is out about, you know, the broker convention becoming more and more wanted and more and more of a possibility. I think that the listeners here and the people who are going to listen to this on archive, is on Friday, you know, I'm not advocating listening to Rush Limbaugh by any stretch of the imagination. However, what I do suggest is if people get on there and just totally flood his lines with people saying, look, we don't want Mitt Romney. We want a broker convention. It's out there where people want it. There are Tea Party group people who want it. You know, we don't have to mention names, but they could do the research themselves, which is something we promote. You know, but totally in it. And I got a story I'm going to put out real quick. Is that one time, if you guys bear with me, is there anything you guys want to chime in about that before I go on my little story?
No, go ahead.
Why?
Go ahead.
The day of the New York, Rhode Island, Pennsylvania, primary, and there was more states. I know there was five states. I called into the Rush Limbaugh show, and I got through to the call screener. I called at 12:34. He's like, "What do you want to talk about?" And I said, "Well, I said today is a primary day, and so I wanted to ask Rush how much media coverage he thought it was going to get." And the call screener asks, Would you really think it's worth it? Or, you know, do you think it, you know, it deserves it? Do you think it deserves media coverage? I'm like, yeah. I said, it's a primary day. There's five states voting in the primary, and there's like 10 more to go. Yeah, I think it deserves media attention. Okay, please hold. While I'm on hold, and at 5:01, a gentleman calls, and he calls to talk about sports or something for about 5 minutes. Hangs up. Okay. Well, then at 2:10, Rush takes another call, his second call, 2:10. Then some guy calls in, kissing Rush's butt for about 10 minutes. He hangs up. Well, at 2:20, Rush starts talking about, you know, how his dad didn't approve of his, you know, career choice, blah, blah, blah. And you could tell Rush was stretching it. Well, at 5:03, the call screen goes, well, Rush isn't going to take any more calls today, so we'll take your number. If this is relevant tomorrow, then we'll call you. What I found amazing was that, and anyone here who listens to Rush, and there was somebody in the chat who said they listen to Rush, I find it almost unprecedented for Rush to only take two calls in a three-hour show. Only two calls that day. Now, I'm not saying the reason why Rush only took two calls that day is because I personally was on the line waiting for him to, you know, he didn't want to talk about what I had to say. In part, that's true. But I think what is more true is that there were a lot of people just like me wanting to say this pretty much the same thing as what I was wanting to say, because there are people out there who feel this way. And he just didn't want to take their calls. Now, something happened again the day after the primary. I called again. Because he said call back on Open Line Friday. So I called back on Open Line Friday. Or something like that. One of the days, doesn't matter really. But I got through again. And it was after hearing the Vincent Reyes robocall that pretty much lied, saying that that Romney was the only one still in the race, even though both Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul were still actively running. And you know what? Let me do a little segue. I have a clip of that guy and what he said. Let me find this. Mm-hmm. Excuse for the silent air while I find it. It was Vincent Reyes' robocall. It's only about a minute long, but what it was is Rush was talking about voter fraud. And I called in and I said, well, wait a minute, there's voter fraud taking place today. And Rush, you know, the guy's like, oh, well, we're not talking about that today. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Rush just said, Rush was just talking about voter fraud. So I was going to call and bring up this clip that you're about to hear, you know, to illustrate, you know, about voter fraud that's still going on, or at least voter, you know, active voter suppression. And here it is. This is what I was calling to talk about.
Hello. This is Rockland County Republican Chairman Vincent Reeder calling to remind you that tomorrow, April 24th, is primary day in New York. It is imperative that us Republicans get out to vote and support Mitt Romney for president. Even though the other candidates have dropped out of the race, it is imperative that we show we are united behind the one man that could beat Barack Obama in November. So please, get your families and friends and fellow Republicans out to vote and support Mitt Romney for president tomorrow, April 24th. Polls are open from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Please make every effort to get out and support Mitt Romney for president. Thank you.
So what do you guys think about that?
That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I mean, that shows right there that Mitt Romney will do whatever it takes to get to the top. I mean, he will cheat his way there. He will lie his way there. He will do whatever it takes to get to the top because he's just that, you know, power hungry of a person. He's an elitist. I mean, he was handpicked by the elites. I mean, that's what they want. They want him. He is a puppet to them. He will do what they want, you know? I mean, this guy's a joke.
Rush Limbaugh's his call screener. And this was because that's what I wanted to address. And he was like, oh, well, there's going to be voter fraud come the general election. And I called in because I wanted to say, and I told the call screener, I said, you know, and that's what Rush was talking about. Oh, well, there's going to be voter fraud. And I told the call screener, well,
there's voter fraud going on right now, or at least voter suppression. And he's like, oh, well, we're not talking about, you know, I said, that's happening today. You know, and he's like, oh, and he knew what I was referring to. He goes, well, we're not talking about that this time. That's right. This was on the day after, this was on Wednesday I called. So the day after, it was the day after the primary. And he goes, well, if you want to call back on Open Line Friday, go ahead, which I don't even think I bothered at that point. So you still there, Charlotte?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that clip? Have you heard anything about that?
No, I hadn't. I had not heard of that. I hadn't heard it.
Yeah, have you heard of it? Like other people talking about it, perhaps?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think I had heard. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying that's one of the reasons why. That is one of the reasons why I cannot support Romney is because the methods that were used by him, his campaign, you know, the establishment, the RNC, just the methods that they use, I cannot support it by coloring the box that says Mitt Romney on it, you know. The only way I could do that is if Newt Gingrich was on the ticket, only as some way of paying Newt back for the crap that Romney handed him or did to him.
I honestly, Robert, he would still have to defend Romney Care. I mean, the bottom line is anybody who's running for office this year in a Senate and a House or in vice presidential race, they have to defend Romney Care. They have to defend all Romney's big government progressivism. It is impossible for anybody. I don't care if it's Newt Gingrich. I don't care if it's anybody. Nobody can defend Romney in a solid way in order to beat Barack Obama. There is absolutely no way.
And as you've seen it right now, according to that delegate count, according to the Electoral College count, Obama already has this. If the election was held today, Barack Obama would be reelected.
I mean, that just tells you right there, we needed broker convention. I mean, we need to all rally together in Tampa. You know, I mean, that's why we needed Judson Phillips on here. We need to let him know that there are people out there who want a brokered convention, you know, and who actually do support Newt Gingrich and who actually do support other candidates. We want a fair outcome. We don't want a voter-suppressed election win for Romney. That's not the way the Republican Party goes, you know. This is not Newt Gingrich's party nowadays, it seems. It seems as if they go along more with the progressive liberals, and it's just ridiculous. Look at the outcomes of these elections that we had before we, you know, gained back our majorities. We were getting killed, 2006, 2008. Why? Because we're a big government. So what are we doing again? We're nominating another big government progressive. It's like it's like hitting your head over with a bat, thinking that the bump's going to go down, but instead the bump's going to go even further up. Okay? I mean, that's progressive Republicans for you right there. That's John McCain types. That's Bob Dole types. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, these people do not learn or they just don't care. I mean, it's either or.
Right, and I just want to put the number out there. If anyone else would like to call in, the call number is area code 347-945-7428. Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, Kevin, for letting me get that out. Is there anything else either one you want to chime in on?
I think... If Newt Gingrich is the nominee, I think that's the only way the Republican Party wins is this year. He's the only one now that can actually come back and get the Republican Party to win. That's my own opinion. I'm sticking with that one.
And I agree. And one of the things that gives me hope, along with what we heard tonight from Mr. Phillips, is I'm going to play a reality check. I'm pretty sure most, if not all, are familiar with this. But this is one of the things I like to hear. And it motivates me, and it gives me hope that we will indeed get to an unbound, I'm sorry, not a, but a broker convention and unbound delegates.
1 week ago, Reality Check told you about one reason why the Republican presidential nomination is far from locked up. But at least one blogger says Ben got it wrong. Did he? The answer in a Reality Check, reply all.
The issue at hand, our reality check on Rule 38 of the Republican National Convention rules. As I told you last week, way down at the end of the RNC rules is rule number 38. That rule consists of only one sentence. No delegate or alternate delegate shall be bound by any attempt of any state or congressional district to impose the unit rule. So what is the unit rule? Well, that rule requires that all delegates from one state or congressional district are required or bound to vote as a unit. After that story aired, a blog post titled "Urgent, Ben Swan and Matt Larson are wrong about Rule 38 and delegates being unbound based on RNC rules." Now, the author here does a good job of raising some very valid points. At the heart of his argument, the states get around this rule by not binding the entire group of delegates. They always have at least one delegate unbound, and it's usually three unbound delegates. So they are not enforcing a unit rule in any way. Therefore, Rule 38 does not apply to the argument. And that is true. For instance, in Ohio, we have 66 delegates, and they are bound delegates. But of those 66, there are three RNC delegates who have the freedom to vote however they choose. Therefore, the blogger correctly states that this allows the RNC to get around the unit rule. But the blogger may not be entirely correct. I stand by our argument that it very well may be that none of the delegates, when they reach the Republican National Convention, are actually bound. And it isn't just our theory. An extensive article at fairvote.org has taken a very close look at this issue. And the truly important issue is this. The author states that the RNC rules provision on the unit rule make it clear that delegates are not bound to vote according to how most delegates from their state are voting. They go on to say, delegates can vote according to their own judgment and conscience. So, what is all of this based on? Actually, it's not our interpretation of the RNC rules or fairvote.org's interpretation. It is the interpretation of the RNC legal counsel. In 2008, this issue came up. It was actually in Utah, where a delegate did not want to join with the rest of the state and vote for John McCain, and instead demanded that his vote be cast for Mitt Romney. McCain won Utah with 62% of the vote in 2008. But here's the most important part. In that delegate's fight to cast a dissenting vote was this statement over the specific issue. Jennifer Sheehan, legal counsel for the RNC, plainly stated in a letter to Nancy Lord, Utah National Committee woman, several weeks before the convention, the RNC does not recognize a state's binding of national delegates, but considers each delegate a free agent who can vote for whoever they choose. And the National Convention allows delegates to vote for the individual of their choice, regardless of whether the person's name is officially placed into nomination or not. And that statement is about as clear as it gets. The delegate process was actually designed to entrust a group of voters with the power to override the popular vote in each state in order to ensure that the best candidate is chosen. Now, keep in mind, the Republican and the Democratic parties are not government agencies. They're private organizations, more like clubs. So voting within a party is not bound by election law. And that's what you need to know. The national media isn't telling you something very important. This past weekend, Congressman Ron Paul swept the delegates in two states, in Nevada and in Maine. At this point, all the delegate momentum appears to be on his side. So, much of what we've been telling you for months has now finally been mentioned by several national outlets. Bloomberg Business, U.S. News & World Report, even radio host Mark Levin this week have finally started to hint at the idea that, well, maybe Tampa isn't going to be inevitable after all. Stay tuned. And that is Reality Check.
If you'd like to make your voice heard on the story, head over to Ben's Facebook page. You can find it by searching Ben Swan, WX.
That is just a great clip. And I really enjoy Ben Swan's Reality Check. So anyway, Kevin, I see you're still out there. If you'd like to comment on that, go ahead.
I just think it's becoming more and more apparent that everybody wants a Booker convention. I was reading something that I think Romney has only truly like 419 bound delegates. If they were actually to be unbound, like there would only be 419 of them that would actually vote for him. So this is far from over, I believe. I mean, if in fact the delegates are all unbound and they're able to vote for who they want, I believe you'll see Newt Gingrich as the nominee of this party.
because he'll give one rousing speech to the delegates that will just take everybody just by surprise and off their feet, and he'll get a standing ovation. I mean, it's just going to be theatrical. Tampa's going to be something that no one's ever seen before, I believe. I believe it's going to be the most historic convention in our nation's history.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, I think that one of the reasons why it's going to be is no one's going to see it coming. Now, I've said this before. As you're already, of course, seeing, you know, the Barack Obama ads right now going against Romney and saying, you know, negative ads against Romney. But I believe the reason why you're seeing that now, even, you know, 5 months out from, you know, from November, the election, is that Obama, just as much as Romney, wants to, you know, push the narrative that Romney is indeed the official Republican nominee, because Romney is indeed the easiest candidate for Barack Obama to defeat in November.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, and as much as I don't agree with Rick Santorum, you know, he nailed it on the head when he said Mitt Romney is the worst Republican nominee to run against Barack Obama when it comes to health care.
Exactly.
You know,
Rick Santorum
just nailed it right there. I mean, he made it crystal clear right there. I mean, Newt Gingrich did it first, but I mean, you know, we all saw it. You know, everybody said, you know, Mitt Romney is not the guy. He is not the one. The only reason why Romney won is, like Justin Phillips said, he had a lot of money. So, you know, that's the bottom line. Money is what bought Mitt Romney the nomination.
You know, the tens of millions of dollars he spent, trashing the opponents. And as much as
he was saying that, you know, they weren't mentioned by names in the super PAC and everything, but we all know they were bailed out banks from 4 years ago. We all know that 7 out of his top 10 donors were banks that were bailed out. So, I mean, we all get a hint right there of, you know, Romney benefited from 4 years ago, basically waiting his turn like the establishment wanted him to. And he benefited off of it from getting TARP money and winning basically the primary.
Well, that's probably one of the reasons why Romney supported TARP.
Yeah, because he waited his turn, like the establishment said. You know, I mean, he was hand-picked. You know, I mean, the establishment said, just wait your turn, and we'll reward you, basically.
That's one of the problems that the Republican Party. The majority of it. But what I'm, you know, is they have this problem with it's his turnism, you know.
Right.
Because if you look at 2000, McCain lost to Bush. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, now McCain lost to Bush. Now it's, you know, time to push McCain so that McCain can get the nomination. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, Romney lost to McCain. Okay, well, now it's time for, you know, to get another Republican candidate for president. Well, now it's McCain, and now it's Romney's turn because, you know, he was beaten by McCain.
And then next time around, it'll be Santorum's turn because he got beat by Romney. It's like, you know, it's just a constant cycle. It's getting ridiculous, you know. I mean, we need to just stop this and change it now, because if we don't change it now, there's not going to be a next time, okay? I mean, Barack Obama, like you said, is going to fundamentally change the United States of America. You know, he's on the verge of doing that already with what he's doing now, with all his health care, with his reckless spending that he's doing, with his high taxation, with his constant regulations. It's just piling up to the point where we're not going to be able to fix this problem if it goes any further. You know, we need to nominate a solid, bold conservative, and as far as I'm concerned, the only one that's solid, bold, and the conservative is Newt Gingrich. You know, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is the one that needs to go up against Obama. He is the one who, in front of 70 million people who will be watching the debates, will see that he is not what the media portrays him to be. He is actually a Reagan conservative who is for the American people, who is for, you know, smaller government, getting out of the people's life, and that's what we want. We want somebody who will actually serve us. The only person who will actually serve us is Newt.
Speaking of the debate, you want to hear a funny clip
someone made what it would be like for, you know, what you would hear in a Romney versus Obama debate. Yeah, it's funny. We'll have a little comedy for 1 minute of comedy
here.
Mr. President, just how different are you from Governor Romney?
Now, let me be clear. I agreed with Governor Romney on many things. For instance, abortion. He was pro-choice most of his adult life. So was I. But he changed his position when he became presidential candidate.
Hold on.
Now, let's take guns. Now, Governor Romney and I, we were in complete agreement on gun control. Now, that is, until he changed his mind.
But I...
And on health care, well, I was so inspired by Romneycare that I nationalized it and called it Obamacare.
Whoa.
But now, presidential candidate Romney is against the individual mandate and universal health care. Now, I agreed with Governor Romney on many things. But this presidential candidate Romney, I don't even know the guy. Then again, he doesn't seem to know himself.
Oh, come on.
Governor Romney? Any our teacher is responsible for the content of this message.
Is that not hilarious?
And these guys, man, they're I mean, that's how a real debate would be. They're not exaggerating
that. On the flip side, Kevin, after hearing that, I love some of these little clips. This is what it would sound like. I think the people who put this video together, they did a little backwards. First, they have it where it's a critique of a debate, and then they actually have parts of a debate. So, but this is what it would sound like after a Newt Gingrich and a Obama debate, and then you hear those clips, you'll hear something that would be an example of what that debate would look like.
Gingrich.
Tonight, Newt Gingrich, again, I think did the best.
The guy that I'm agreeing with most up on stage is probably the guy to my left, so I would say that Newt Gingrich would be the guy.
Actually, Newt has been one of the best of the other candidates.
Newt Gingrich showed last night why many conservatives believe he is the best person to take on Obama.
Anybody who's covered Newt Gingrich over the years knows better than to underestimate him.
When Newt Gingrich goes after the mainstream media or one of their reporters, he's going after Barack Obama, and that's what the Republican primary voters want.
It actually got a standing ovation, which is fairly unusual in a debate like this.
These debates are part of the reason why Newt Gingrich just won South Carolina.
Well, maybe we should go along with what Gingrich wants and have debates without moderators.
Why Newt Gingrich?
Well, I just think he's got the best economic plan of any of the candidates.
Tea Party Nation founder Judson Phillips says Newt is the most electable, and he's also impressed with Gingrich's debate performances.
Reagan conservative, grassroots, which is Newt Gingrich.
Let's take a look at the extraordinary men and women who make up the 104th Congress, and of course its distinguished speaker, Newt Gingrich. Barry Goldwater handed the torch to Ronnie. And in turn, Ronnie turned that torch over to Newt.
The distinction between Speaker Gingrich and President Obama will be so distinct that I think that gives him the best chance in order to be able to get elected president.
Newt Gingrich comes out as the big winner tonight.
And it's rare that the group almost unanimously picks one winner. Tell me, who won this debate?
Gingrich.
Show the audience, how many of you were backing Gingrich 10 days ago? Raise your hands. And how many of you thought that he won today?
Newt Gingrich would, he would clobber Barack Obama in any debate, any forum that had to do with substance when it comes to policy and solutions for the challenges that America faces. Newt Gingrich would clobber Barack Obama.
And what I want to do is to make sure that the plumber, the nurse, the firefighter, the teacher, the young entrepreneur who doesn't yet have money, I want to give them a tax break now. And that requires us to make some important choices. Last point I'll make about small businesses, not only do 98% of small businesses make less than $250,000, but I also want to give them additional tax breaks because they are the drivers of the economy. They produce the most jobs.
The fact is that more people have been put on food stamps by Barack Obama than any president in American history. Now, I know among the politically correct, you're not supposed to use facts that are uncomfortable. Second, you were the one who earlier raised a key point. The area that ought to be I-73 was called by Barack Obama a corridor of shame because of unemployment. Has it improved in 3 years? No. They haven't built the road. They haven't helped the people. They haven't done anything. So here's my point. I believe every American of every background has been endowed by their creator with the right to pursue happiness, and if that makes liberals unhappy, I'm going to continue to find ways to help poor people learn how to get a job, learn how to get a better job, and learn someday to own the job.
Be just a flavor, just a taste of what a debate between Barack Obama and Newt Gingrich would be like. It'd be incredible. Oh.
It's like, come on. It's like, how much more do you want? The guy just goes after him. He doesn't give a damn. He just goes after him. You know, look at Romney. Oh, I'm so scared. I'm not going to hit him on immigration or health care. You know, Newt Gingrich, oh, he's the biggest American food stamp president we have in American history, you know?
Exactly.
He tells it like it is. It's like, come on now. Isn't that what we want nowadays?
And that is why we need a brokered convention. That's why we need it, okay? Is to have that kind of, as the gentleman said, that kind of contrast between the two candidates. That kind of contrast between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party, and without that contrast, it's going to look like you're just going to be voting for a one-party election.
You know, and I hope you have a bunch of listeners tonight listening to what you're playing and what you're saying and what we're all saying here, because that should inspire people to get out there and actually do the work to get Newt Gingrich against Barack Obama, because like I said earlier, that's the only way we can win now. I mean, it's come down to that. We're less than 7 weeks away from Tampa. Okay, it's crunch time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have to do it now. We're in July. The 4th of July is tomorrow. Okay, I mean, a month and 3 weeks from now, Tampa's here. I mean, it's do or die time for us now. Conservatives have to get, you know, aligned. We need to unite behind, you know, anti-Romneyist, you know, movement. We need to get, you know, behind with one another. You know, we cannot let Romney just stomp all over us. It's not going to happen. We need to get out there. I'm taking the trip 3,000 miles across the country, okay? If I can do it, anybody can do it. I mean, you know, it's got to be done. We have to get out there. We need to unify. I mean, it is very important. This is like, you know, people say, this is for your grandkids. This is for your kids, you know? If it's that important, then do what you have to do in order to get it done.
And there definitely is initiatives out there. There are definitely initiatives out there, some of which I cannot speak of. But I know, because I'm in contact with the people who are heading up these initiatives, and I'm playing a part in a couple of them, you know, to try to, you know, work towards getting the broker convention. So, you know, it's out there. And, all you know, what we have to do as – I'm just reading something in the chat. Okay. And what we need to do is get the information out to just everybody we know. That's what networking is about. I mean, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take what Mr. Phillips said tonight about getting to your – if you belong to a Tea Party, getting to a Tea Party group. Go ahead and, as I said, record the, if you're able to, I have to look at that, record this session and send it to a Tea Party, you know, one of the Tea Party meetings, say, hey, this guy, or you know, write down what the gentleman said. It's probably easier to download it and then, you know, put it to your phone. So, do something like that, but it's going to take another, you know, as he said, Tea Party in the streets, or, you know, we said, he talked about the Unity Day, or I'll have to look at more. Did you recall exactly what he, I'll look through the archive. and see exactly the day. I kind of missed a part of it. It's about Unity Day, the day before, I believe he said, of the convention.
The 26th of August, there's going to be a Unity Rally in Tampa.
A Unity Rally, that's it, Unity Rally, thank you. But that's the day of the first, that's the day of the first day of the convention.
The first day of the convention is the 27th, actually. The 26th is on a Sunday, and then it starts Monday the 27th.
Okay.
So yeah, now, Monday the 27th through August 30th.
I don't know whether I'd be able to get down there 30th. For the whole week, but I'd like to get down there for some days, that's for certain. I don't know if I'd be able to get away for a whole week. But.
If you're there for only for certain days, try to get there in the first couple of days, or first day or whatever you can, because that's the time we need the people there the most is at first.
Mm-hmm.
We need to just make it known that we're there, okay? We're active. We're not going to be unheard anymore. That's it. We're done.
Like, oh, I hear some people shooting off some fireworks out my window. Yeah, I like to do that every 4th of July. I go out and I get some fireworks and, shoot them off every year. So, 4th of July, for many reasons, is one of my favorite holidays.
It's my all-time favorite holiday. It's my birthday.
I know. You're telling me about that. And you have a great birthday tomorrow. Be safe
Absolutely.
Out there.
Absolutely.
And while we're on that and while we're on that topic, I would like to wish everyone who is listening, and everyone who's who might be listening now or on the archive tomorrow night, because I'm going to archive this show. I'm going to do a rebroadcast of this show tomorrow night because I'll be out of town for the 4th of July. So actually, I'll just be in Indiana, which is like an hour from me. So it's not like I'm going anywhere big for out of town, but for me, that's out of town. But so I will not be away. I will not be doing a live show tomorrow night, but I will be doing a rebroadcast of this show. So, if people on archives, like to listen to it, or people out there know anybody who missed it and are like, oh, I really would like to have heard, Judson Phillips speak, then there will be another opportunity. And I'm also considering doing a rebroadcast of this show on Saturday or Sunday night, actually, because right now my show is Sunday through Thursdays, but I was doing some show prep on Sunday, so I didn't get much of an opportunity to spend time with my daughter, and she was really upset about that, and she's like, Daddy, why don't you just do it Friday nights instead of Sunday nights, because then we can have some time to play on Sunday. So I'm really considering reconsidering the day slots. Instead of it being Sunday through Thursday evenings, to go ahead and have these shows be Monday through Friday at my daughter's behest,
That'd be great.
Yeah,
family first, buddy. First, man.
Yeah, I try to find a balance. I'm not always successful, and my daughter has no problem reminding me of that. So.
But, you're doing it for a good cause, Robert. You're doing it for your daughter's cause, and she'll realize that when she gets older. That. She'll thank you after, when this is all said and done, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate that. But she's 10 now, so it's kind of a difficult matter. If anyone here has young children, could imagine.
Right.
It does take a lot of time to do one of these. You're not only on the show for 2 hours, you're definitely spending hours, getting prepped and making phone calls. And as you've helped out with today, thank you very much. Appreciate that, Kevin. Setting up interviews such as the one we had tonight.
It just had to be done. As soon as he wrote that article out and people were posting it, I'm like, oh, I got to get this guy.
Oh, my gosh.
I got to get him on
Robert's
show.
It was awesome. I was just talking about that last night on Mark Prasik's show. And let me get a little shout out for his show. That also can be found on Newt Now, one word. It's a Facebook app. All you have to do is go to your Facebook page, go to the search engine, put Newt Now, one word, and a few clicks, you're there. His show's on the list of shows of what we call the conservative conversation. So it's a video chat. If you go in there, you don't have to have a webcam, but they would like if you had a mic, and if you don't have either one of those, that is fine as well, because there is a chat option where you can type in and chat what you'd like to say. But it's a good forum, and Mark's a great guy, and it's you know, it's a more intimate setting, you know, where there's not as many people, and there is a, you know, an open mic, you know, forum, and if you do have a webcam and you're comfortable with that, you know, that too. So, but that his show is on from midnight till 1 a.m., and that's Eastern Standard Time. I'm sorry. It's of midnight to 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I was thinking about Samuel Sanford's show, which is on from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., you know, Eastern Time.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Kevin.
No, I was saying, you know, I mean, just, you know, I was listening to you.
Okay. Well, as I said, you know, to reiterate, because we only got like 15 minutes left in the show, you know, I want to wish everybody a happy 4th of July. Have a safe 4th of July, especially if you or your loved ones are going to be out either shooting off fireworks or viewing fireworks, that you're going to do it with safety. So, and drive careful if anyone's going to be out there, you know. You have some drinks, try to have yourself a designated driver. I'm usually not one to preach, not by any stretch of the imagination, but it is something that, you know, I feel obligated to say, you know, because it is important, and, you know, families are important, and, you know, one night of having some fun isn't worth a lifetime of regrets of doing something wrong, such as, you know, drinking a lot of alcohol and then driving and hurting yourself or someone else. So, because your family depends on you.
Exactly.
So there's more people out there that love someone than they might even realize. So, but that's enough of my proselytizing. You know,
I mean, I got my keg of Heineken. I'm a guilty one here, but I'm not going to be driving, you know, so.
That's good. Well, yeah, I'm going to be out, you know, as I said, Indiana. Thank you. And in the chat, someone says you as well. Yes, I have a DD. I have a designated driver. So, and I do plan on having some beers, and I do plan on shooting off some fireworks.
There you go, man.
But
you're going to have some fun there, Robert.
Oh yeah, and it's a family tradition. You know, I've been setting off fireworks since I was a kid. You know, and
yeah.
You know, I put a show on for my family. You know, I put a fireworks show on for my family, and it's, I don't let a year go by. I think for 22 years, I think I only let one year go by where I didn't have at least a little bit of a fireworks show. I mean, it won't be anything fantastic. My brother and I used to. Man, we used to throw really big couple hours worth of, you know, shooting off fireworks. Unfortunately, with the economy being what it is, and I'm definitely a part of I've had collateral damage effects from this economy, you know, being as it may, I can't put it on as spectacular shows, fireworks shows as I would like. However, with hard work and dedication, and with Newt Gingrich being our president, then I truly, you know, think and believe that, you know, we as a nation will raise back up and be the great nation that we pointed out with Mr. Phillips, who once were.
I mean, speaking of that, you know, now that you're saying that, how many times have you heard actual issue-oriented solution answers from either Obama or Romney on how to fix the economy? I mean, there is nothing being told about that. All I hear about is the campaign bickering and campaign minutiae. That's all it's being talked about now. It's just, where's the solution to that?
Exactly. And that's what Newt Gingrich wanted to say is, you know, he wants to have a solutions-based, a bold idea-based, you know, campaign. And some of those bold ideas that Newt Gingrich has, if I may be so bold as to promote my show for Thursday, is since we're bringing up bold ideas and ideas, is on Thursdays is what I call green conservatism. And it's not my phrase. I'm actually borrowing it from the man who has coined the phrase, and that man is Newt Gingrich. And he coined the phrase green conservatism. So I have, let's see, I don't want to, there's only 10 minutes left, so I want to play a clip of Newt Gingrich and what he says about green conservatism. So let me.
Hey, Robert, before you go, I'm going to have to actually step out right now because I have to get some errands done really quick. So
I
think I'm going to be heading out right now. But it was a great show that I was on today. It was awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And while I still have you on, one of the reasons I was bringing up green conservatism because I was going to bring up about the show. If you're still able to have him come in and talk about his business is on Thursday, that's going to be great. Let's schedule a time for him to come in and talk about his business and his website.
Absolutely.
I was kind of give a segue to talk about Thursday to do that because it is part of the Green Conservative show. So Green Conservatism. So okay, well
great.
Thank you very much for setting that up again, Kevin. Mr.
Phillips. It was great hearing it, and Justin Phillips, I guess he is a new supporter.
Yes, it was awesome to hear that, and for him to come in at such short notice,
it was
phenomenal.
Very courteous
exactly.
on his part. Shows me he's a patriot,
Yep. All right, well, thank you very much again, and I'm sure I will talk to you at another time.
Yes, you will. God bless you guys.
Take care.
All right, you too.
See ya. Bye-bye. Okay. All righty. Well, that was Kevin Buff, folks. Good friend, patriot, very knowledgeable, as you can tell. His dad has a green business that we will describe. I'll give you a little taste just because I'd like people to come in and listen to the show on Thursday of what it's about. It has to do with irrigation. It's an irrigation business, but they do it in an environmentally friendly manner, and that is part of green conservatism, which talks about using markets and entrepreneurship and innovations for environmental policy and green initiatives. And that being said, I will go ahead and play the clip I was wanting to play, if I can find it here in my stuff. There we go.
The first, which my newsletter on Monday will be about, is green conservatism. I want to be very clear about this concept. I taught the second Earth Day. I was a coordinator of environmental studies. Ronald Reagan issued a positive statement on the first Earth Day. The environment is not inherently a liberal issue. Virtually every American would like to see biodiversity. Virtually every American would like to see clean air. Virtually every American would like to make sure that we do not have unnecessary climate change, recognizing that the climate changes all the time, the natural biological rhythm or natural organic geographic or geological rhythm. Having said that, what happened to the environmentalism is that the hard left took it over so that the environmentalism became an excuse for hysteria, it became an excuse for big government, it became an excuse for regulation, and then conservatives said, well, I'm against that. That then got translated into, well, then you're against the environment. And nobody stood up and said, wait a second. We need to have a fundamental, alternative, better solution. Let me give you an example, which you are aware of because of Three Mile Island right here. In 1979, the left made a movie which was about as intellectually honest as Gore's recent movie. It had Jane Fonda in it, which told you almost all you needed to know. And it was called The China Syndrome. And it's just fundamentally false. It's a lie. But the combination of Three Mile Island and the China Syndrome all of a sudden led to an end to developing nuclear power in the United States. Now, let me give you the numbers. When you go back home and you run into your left-wing friends who are really desperately worried about carbon, and they really worry about Kyoto, and they think that there are going to be 20 feet of ocean next Tuesday, and the penguins are going to be walking on sand, and oh, my God, why don't we do something? And, of course, whatever the something is means more government and bigger power. Give them the following number. It'll drive them crazy. If the United States had developed nuclear power at the same level as France for electricity production, we would this year put 2,200,000,000 tons less carbon in the atmosphere, and we would be 15% better than the Kyoto requirements. Now, of course, they'll probably tell you, well, you can't do that. You say, okay, tell me again how important Kyoto is. I'll tell you again, once again how important it is we do something now. To show you how stupid the left is, and I mean that word deliberately, because you watch these people and you try to figure out, how do they make these things up? Gore testified recently that he wants to have no new coal-burning plants until we have the perfect coal-burning plant. This is after a man who wrote in Earth and the Balance that the greatest threat to the human race in the 20th century was the internal combustion engine, which meant that he had managed to somehow skip Stalin, Hitler, and Mao Zedong. Not an easy trick for somebody who was actually going to a very successful private school, but he did. Here's the fact. A new coal-burning plant produces 25% more electricity for the same amount of carbon. So if Gore was serious about reducing carbon, he would actually be offering a tax credit to block modernize all of the current coal plants into a next-generation coal plant, and he would immediately get a 25% reduction in carbon per unit per megawatt of electricity, which is, by the way, more than Dianne Feinstein hopes to get by 2040. And he would do it without any government coercion, without any litigation, without any regulation. He would do it because it would just make economic sense to do it. So I believe we can create a green conservatism based on science, based on incentives, based on tax credits. And I think we can actually do a better job than the left because their bureaucracies inherently can't deliver. Superfund spends a third of its money on regulation and litigation. That money ought to be spent on engineers and recovery. And that's a total, we can offer a better model. So I just want to urge you, don't back off on this. Be prepared to go into the Philadelphia suburbs and say to the most passionately interested environmentalists, terrific values, here's a better way to get there. And we will suddenly have a new dialogue in America.
Okay, folks, and that is Newt Gingrich on green conservatism, which he would say more. That will play that on Thursday. Now, I'd like to take this time to thank Mr. Phillips for coming into the show and having the interview with us, spending time with us. I also like to thank Kevin Buff for setting that up and the other callers who called in tonight to talk, and I'd like to thank everyone in chat for coming in tonight, and if you are there listening to the archive, I appreciate you coming in and not coming in, but finding the show and clicking on and listening to it. And if you are listening to the rebroadcast, I want to thank you as well. So at this time is what I like to do. I've only got a couple minutes left. I like to play this song by Aubrey Ashburn, and I'll put a link into the chat to her website. I'm not affiliated with her anyway, but I really love her voice and her music. So please enjoy this song. Thank you. G'day, folks. Good night, and please come again.